You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our podcasts are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP in North Carolina. We got a great show for you today, yet again, folks. Returning to the show is community leader, author, media personality, and health ambassador, Reverend Odell Cleveland of Greensboro's Mount Zion Baptist Church. He's back on the show this time to talk to us about what he's been up to this year, sharing the messages of preventive care and caregiving. But before we get to that, folks, you know, as always here at AARP Without Limits, we like to start things on a very informal and casual note. And usually I do that with my buddy here, Mr. Mike D. Mike Davis. He is not in the house, though, today. He's taking it upon himself to take a little time off, spending a little, hopefully, quality time with his family and getting a little bit of much-needed rest and recuperation. And so I'm here kind of solo, folks, today, just kicking off this episode. He'll be back soon, though, within short order, of course. And all that to say is he is missed, and I'm on my own carrying the full weight of the show today, which, as you may know, I like to say, Mike D is the true talent at AARP Without Limits, though he likes to disagree. Anyway, I hope everybody is doing well. I hope you're all enjoying the spring season. It's been a very wet one here throughout much of North Carolina, though we are starting to heat up a little bit. Anyway, I'm really excited about today's show. Really excited about having Reverend Odell Cleveland back on the program because we've had some really, really great conversations during the previous times, and he and I have had the opportunity to get together, have coffee, and you know, break bread and talk about things going on in North Carolina, getting to know each other and getting a sense as to what the needs and opportunities here are in the state. And so I'm really eager to get into a conversation with him yet again here on the program and the opportunity to be inspired. And that's one of the things I really love about the work at AARP. And I'm saying this now as we've just come off National Volunteer Month. You know, one of the really great things, and I love telling this story to people. I don't think I've ever shared it on the show, so this should not be something you've heard already. When I started AARP back 18-plus years ago now, I used to have an idea of what quote-unquote retirement might look like or what my quote-unquote golden years might look like. And in my mind, I had this picture in my head of being on a beach somewhere, some palm trees overhead, some sand in between my toes, and not a whole lot to do on my to-do list. And I had that picture because, you know, I think, yeah, that's part of the American dream, right? You know, you got to work hard and achieve what, you know, all that you can, and you've got a family, and you're going to just sort of chill and put things in autopilot and just relax. And that's all good. There's something to be said for leisure. But when I started working at AARP and I started working with volunteers, that vision in my head changed. And it changed because I met so many people time and time again who, for the first time in their lives, were actually doing what they wanted to do. That is, they've gotten to the point to where maybe they're not working anymore or not working as hard as they needed to before in the past. They've got some opportunity with some additional time now, some free time in their life, and they don't want to waste it. They don't want to just sit on a beach with sand in between their toes. They want to get out there and they want to have an impact. They're at that point in their lives where they know what's important to them, what's important in life. They know what their values are. They know what they can contribute in terms of their skills and their experience. You know, how can they have an impact? And they want to merge the two. They want to put their values into practice with their skill set and their experience and have an impact. And that really changed my view on what my later years might look like. And so instead of having this, you know, very tropical, lush picture in my head of sitting on a beach, Oh, there'll certainly be some of that. Maybe a little bit of the desert, too, as I've come to love that in recent years. I really am thinking a lot more and more about how I want to have an impact. And specifically, what am I doing now that I'm good at, that I want to get to be really good at in the coming years, in the next 10 years or so, let's say. And how can I transition that skill set and that bit of experience into new ways of having an impact outside of my career, you know, as a retirement or semi-retirement phase of my life where I'm really going to be focused on having an impact. And I invite you to do the same. Those of you who are listening who are in your 50s or maybe even a little younger, start thinking now about how you want to have an impact. What are you good at now that you can get great at and then have a real impact when you're calling your own shots down the road, when you don't have to report to a boss or to a mothership organization, when you can say what's on your mind, do what you want, and have as much impact as you want. So, all of that said, I am very happy to welcome back to the program, Reverend Odell Cleveland.
Reverend Cleveland is an author, a podcaster, a media personality who has hosted some really terrific bipartisan talk shows with people like former Congressman Mark Walker. And he was one of the very few people AARP nationally recognized as a local hero for all the ways that he is working to better serve his community. And this month, the month of May, Older Americans Month, he has the added distinction of being part of a feature in this month's edition of the AARP Bulletin, which goes out to tens of millions of AARP households. I'm very happy to welcome back to the show my friend, Reverend Odell Cleveland. Rev, great to see you. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Michael, thanks for having me, man. You know, hey, older adults just turned 65 yesterday, so I yes. feel real good about it. My early childhood, I didn't know if I would make it to be 65.
Oh, my gosh. God bless you. That's fantastic. That was a nice surprise to hear that you turned 65 yesterday.
Yes.
And we'll get back into that. I want to begin with this snapshot in time, if we could, before we dig into the past or the future. Just right now, 2025 is turning out to be a very different kind of year for people and certainly for the country. So if we could, Rev, let's start right there. How are you doing right now? How's your year been going?
You know, the year has been going well, partly because I kind of look at life that the glass is half full instead of half empty. We are in the middle of retiring later on this month. We are in the process of building a new home in Rock Hill, South Carolina, to be closer to our grandkids. And, you know, other than the uncertainty around the stock market and the 401ks and retirement vehicles that we're utilizing. Hey, we're healthy, sound mind. Me and the wife are still in love with each other after 40 some odd years. So, hey, we're doing well. We won't complain. Let's say it like that. We won't complain.
Excellent. Excellent. Doesn't sound like you have much to complain about either there, Rev, I'll tell you. And you look fantastic, too, though I know people listening to this don't see it. But trust me, folks, he looks great. Now, I know from our past conversations, you've had some very significant events and relationships in your life that have affected you and that put you on the path that you're on, serving people, especially when it comes to issues like caregiving. So for those who didn't hear the past shows with you, if you could please just tell the audience a bit about yourself and what brought you to where you are right now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that as a child, my mother got misdiagnosed years ago. She was having a stroke and went to the hospital and they sent her back home, said it was just a seizure or, you know, like that. And anybody knows anything about a stroke, seconds counts, minute counts, hours counts. So she went home for about 2 days and eventually another doctor, in those days they did house calls, they came and saw her and took her back to the hospital and forced them to admit her. So that, you know, as a kid, you never thought about it, Michael, that here it is X amount of years later, you would be in a position where that same mother that, you know, you were talking about, now she's 80 something years old and the whole caregiving part takes place. And also I'm blessed to have a grandmother-in-law who's 104 years old. So we're taking care of her or helping take care of her. And those are the type of things that when you look at life and you look at it, we say, twice a child and once a man. So you're getting to that point where you care for those who cared for you. So that's kind of brought me to caregiving. It's interesting when we think about it. As a child, you always wanted to be next, you know, whether it's next in line for a Ferris ride or next in line to get to the table. But no one's fussing about being next to care for a loved one because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of everything, and it changes your life, sir.
Well, that's a great way of putting it. And I have to tell you, I recognize that term. When you said, I believe it's the opening line in your book, it's my turn now. I believe that's the first line about the book is how you always loved being, you know, your turn, you know, starting out that way. And now it's a bit different.
Yeah. Very few people raise their hand to say, I will give up my professional career and take care of a loved one and fight with that loved one from time to time because they're fighting for their independence, whether it's the car keys, whether it's their finances, anything else. And you feel sometimes like, does anybody really care? And the other question that's so important, Michael, is that when my time as a caregiver is up, whether that's the front of the church or in the funeral car, will I feel guilty or relieved? And will I feel guilty for feeling relieved? So that's a hard question because will I feel guilty or will I feel relieved? And will I feel guilty for feeling relieved?
Great thoughts. Great thoughts, sir. When we come back, folks, we are going to continue our conversation with Reverend Odell Cleveland. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Reverend Odell Cleveland. He's of Greensboro's Mount Zion Baptist Church. He's also an author, a podcaster, a talk show host, a community leader. Reverend, you mentioned earlier in the show that you just turned 65. I turned 50 a couple months back, big milestone year for me. And I have to admit, I definitely noticed it was like a switch getting flipped in my head. I'm suddenly very well aware of the fact that I'm not that young skateboarder kid going to punk rock shows and stuff anymore. I'm definitely much more aware of how I feel physically every day and more conscious overall of my health. You have a podcast devoted to raising awareness of preventive care, particularly among young men, including me. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's interesting. The name of the podcast is P is for Prostate. I went through had a prostate scare about 2 years ago. And when I came conscious, it was like, okay, we got a catheter going on. We got a lot of things going on. I said to the doctor at the time, I'm going to start a podcast and talk about this because a lot of men don't understand the importance of getting checked out, or let's just talk about it because some people see it as a way of denial. You know, it's almost like me. I'm sitting here and my head is bald, right? Everybody can see that. Even a blind man can see it. And you have gorgeous hair. Everybody can see that. Everybody can see that, Mike. So why be in denial that I have a bald head? That's life. But I'm still here. And I use examples like that and people laugh and they understand. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. But I'm just a regular guy who's saying, guys, we have to go get examinations. We have to establish benchmarks. We have to follow up on our annual examinations. And to the people in our lives who love us, encourage us. Keep us going, because at the end of the day, you want to be as healthy as you can in this last phases, last chapters of our lives. So that's what I'm having. I'm getting tremendous feedback. People, they love it. They talk about it. And so it's exciting, but you have to be transparent. I had to tell them about all my shortcomings, all my weight problems and battles, because it's all one thing. And a lot of things I find out is that just the healthy eating and all those type of things make a huge difference. And I think I'm happy for it.
Yeah. I gotta dig a little bit deeper into that, what you just said, if you don't mind, Rev, because you know, you have a certain air about you that I think is very unique, because you're a community leader. You've got a lot of accomplishments. You have definitely, you know, you're an imposing figure. You're a large man. You're very masculine.
Not as large as I used to be, thank God.
And yet you have this ability to really be extremely real with people. And I don't want to use the term vulnerable. I don't even want to use the word humble. It's almost like you honor the challenges that come with life. You respect them. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, we're talking before about things that shaped you. Was there a role model in your life that kind of set that for you? Because that's pretty unusual. A lot of people who do what you do, they've got a bit of an ego. They are very self, kind of bathing in the accolades and things like that. And you don't do that. I'm just curious. Was there a role model for you that kind of laid that out?
Definitely, Michael. And very good question. You know, I grew up in South Carolina in the early 60s. So the dirt roads of South Carolina and the grandma's porches. We were so poor. You know, I like to say we were so poor we couldn't afford the O and the R. So you had to be humble. And, you know, my mother was my role model. She always said, you could do anything you want to do in life as long as you get the best education that you can, because sometimes the best education wasn't available, but you did the best you can. Always try to be nice to people. Don't never look down on people. You know, that those were the type of things she taught us. And in spite of everything, you just try to be humble. You try to stay humble, man, because you've been blessed. You had opportunities. And in those days, I was able to play basketball. So I was able to get out of poverty by going to college on a basketball scholarship. I wasn't good enough to get to the NBA, but I didn't see it as I have to get to the NBA. I saw it as, back to what my mother said, basketball can allow me to go to college and get the best education that I can. And it was a personal thing. So now, when you were able to be poor and be homeless as a child, because I remember we were homeless at one time, and those type of things, now you're building a decent house. You know, it's years later, but you're building a decent house next to your grandkids. So that's the kind of thing that keep you humble, because you understand that it didn't have to happen for you. You know, so that's kind of where that humility comes from. The fact that I'm just happy, man. I'm happy not to be poor anymore. I'm happy to be healthy. I'm happy to still be here, because things happen to people in life that change them forever, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. As you know, this thing called life, sometimes you go through some bumps and bruises. Sometimes you're on the peaks, but other times you're in the valley. A lot of times we spend our whole life trying to get to the top, but we don't really focus on how do we come back down. No one stays on the top forever. So how do we know how to climb. We know how to get that position. And once we get that position, Michael, how do we separate Odell the person from Odell the pastor, Odell from the CEO, or Odell from the grand poobah, when you don't have reserved parking spaces, you don't have all that? And that's what you have to remember, one's humanity. And if you don't get caught up in that, then it's easy to come back down the mountain at a safe rate, and you're still you, because at the end of the day, you're still you.
Man, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for getting into that. I really appreciate you letting me ask you that, sir. You're also an author. On our last show, we talked about It's My Turn Now, Caregiving 101, which is a fantastic book and a workbook to help people manage the challenges of caregiving. But you also authored Pracademics. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Pracademics.
Pracademics and Community Change, a true story of nonprofit development and social entrepreneurship during welfare reform. Another book called Jerry O. Waters, Born to Be a Coach. And another book, The Fighting Marine, the Jamel Herring story. That's quite a range of topics to cover. Most people, they're like, are they writing the same topic? You're covering a lot there. What inspires you to take the leap from having an interest or a passion in a topic or a person to actually writing a book? And if you could you give us a story or two about one or two of these books that illustrates that?
Sure. You know, I write about things that I like. I was that child in school when they said, you will grow up and end up no good. You'll end up in jail. You'll end up in special ed class. Nothing wrong with special ed. But so many people said so many negative things that I just start believing that I can. I'll prove you wrong. And that's not the best motivation, but that's being honest what motivated me. So when I meet other people who've been there and I hear their story and they said, do you mind writing for me? That's why the subject is all over the place, because I love people. And when people said, I have something inside of me, Odell, will you help me, you know, get it out? Jamel Herring, the Fighting Marine, he was a Olympian. And at first, I didn't want to write his book because the last thing I wanted to deal with was cocky athletes. But he shared his story, how he was in foster care and how his mother was on drugs and everything. And I'm like, okay, I will help you. Coach Jerry O. Waters, he came to me. He was my high school coach and my college coach. I wrote a book. He came to me and said, hey, I want you to help me tell my story on how I grew up rural poor in Georgia. And those are the type of things I get into. And right now I'm writing one called Come Walk With Me. That's the story of my family, documenting my family for my grandson and my granddaughter on where our family came from and now where we are now. And you going back to when our family was enslaved. And I know a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but I just think it's important for me to share with my grandson and granddaughter. And I'm trying to take a trip over to Africa early next year to see if I could even trace it that far, because you want to leave the best history, family documented history one can, because I think we draw from that as individuals. You know, we hear the stories of our ancestors, some good, some not so good, but it lets us know that, you know, people, we're on other people's shoulder. We didn't get here by ourselves. And you have to always stay humble and understand people sacrificed for generations. People prayed for generations that they never saw. And so that's why we get so passionate about what we do. And we love to write about not just the underdog, but the underdog who just went out there, didn't know if he or she was going to win or not, but they didn't give up. We can't give up, Michael. We just can't give up. No one can give up.
Mm. And what's the name? What's again the name of this new book?
Come Walk With Me. And it'd be coming out in about 3 months now.
Oh, great. Yeah. Excellent. Great. So aside from the book, you've always got things going on. Anything else for Reverend Odell?
Well, you know, it's people have asked me to do some coaching. So like coaching, one of the gifts that I have is called the gift of administration. And it means the leadership. And a lot of people can do business on the front end, but someone has to be in the back room, making sure the trains run on time, making sure they understand a budget. They make sure they understand, you know, projections and all those performers. So I've taken the time to start select people to mentor them and train them and consult with them. So I'm enjoying that. One thing about pre-retirement is the fact that you get to kind of pick and choose what you get involved in or not, because this whole retirement thing, man, I'm looking so forward to it, because people are saying, Odell, you get your time back. You get your time back. And I've been working ever since I was like 10 or 12 years old. My grandfather had me cutting yards and all those type of things. He taught me, and I thank God for him, a strong work ethic. But at the same time, I look forward to spending time with my grandkids and living close by so that I could just go get them on a whim and they spend the night, you know, all the things that I'm imagining and I dreamed about. Now I have an opportunity to experience that.
Excellent. Excellent. Last question for you, Rev. Where can people learn more about you, your books, and follow your work?
Hey, just look me up on www.odell, O-D-E-L-L, Cleveland, C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D.com. OdellCleveland.com, or just Google me on Amazon and all the books and everything will come up.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Rev. It's always great talking with you. We're going to have you back on the show after your new book is out. We'd love to dig into some of the stories and insights that you're sharing with your grandchildren and for the rest of us as well. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Michael, thank you all, and thank you for having me, and thanks AARP for all the great things that you all do to help so many people.
Thank you, sir. Well, that is a wrap, folks. I want to thank Odell Cleveland for his time today. Thank you to Mike Davis for post-production, and thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.